From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Today, two conversations about the power of food to unite people. Kwame Onwuachi, executive chef of the Afro-Caribbean restaurant Kith and Kin in Washington, tells us about growing up in the Bronx and Nigeria, the dishes he grew up with, and his favorite snack. Then, the market at Montebello aims to build community in Northeast Baltimore with healthy food vendors, music, cooking demos, and lakeside yoga. Founder Nicole Foster says the market, which runs the third Saturday of each month, is bringing neighbors together.
It's a magical place because what you hear is laughter. You hear connection. It really does feel like the community genuinely coming together to love each other in a way that they probably never had.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Braised oxtails, toasted melon seeds, charred eggplant dip. These are some of the dishes and ingredients on the menu at Kith and Kin, an Afro-Caribbean restaurant located in the Intercontinental in Washington, D.C., at the Wharf. Kwame Onwuachi is executive chef there. He's also the author of the recent memoir, Notes from a Young Black Chef, which details the troubles and triumphs on his path from a one-bedroom apartment in the Bronx to his own fine dining restaurant. He'll be in Baltimore next Thursday at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History for a conversation and book signing. He joins us now on the line. Chef Onwuachi, welcome to On the Record.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Your mother is Creole and Trinidadian. Your father is Nigerian and Jamaican. What kinds of foods did you grow up eating?
All types of foods. As you can see, that's a lot. You know, so everything from, you know, jollof rice to egusi stew to pepper soup to gumbo. And it's, you know, it's really interesting coming into my own as a chef and realizing how they're all really connected at the end of the day.
Tell us some of the characteristic ingredients of Afro-Caribbean cuisine.
Well, they're very, very vast. You know, you have, you know, Trinidad and Tobago to Jamaica, and they're so different in their types of cuisine. So there isn't just a particular characteristic, but there is, for me, a feeling of home, which I really enjoy about the cuisine. And that's why I really stand behind it and want the world to experience it.
You grew up in the Bronx, but at age 10, your mother sent you to live with your grandfather, your dad's father, in Nigeria. Why did she send you there?
I was acting up, you know. I was veering off on the wrong path, which is pretty easy to do in the Bronx. So she wanted to nip that in the bud and sent me to Nigeria.
And what did you learn there?
I learned respect, but most importantly, I learned to appreciate what I have here in America. All the opportunities, all the things that we take for granted day in and day out, like running water and electricity, you know, things that majority of the world lives without.
What did you learn about cooking in Nigeria?
I learned where my food comes from. You know, we had to raise our own livestock. We had to cultivate our own vegetables. And I learned a great deal from that about caring about where your food comes from. And caring about just the food in general, because so much energy goes into making it.
When did you decide that cooking was something you could turn into a career?
I think I was about 19 years old in New York. And I started a catering company and really fell in love with the craft. I worked in restaurants before that, but starting that company at a very young age, for me, was validating. And it really verified, you know, that I should be cooking for the rest of my life.
Why did you even think you could start a catering company?
My mother, she had one growing up, so I was always around. I was always around food. You know, I worked for her catering company. It was my first job at 5 years old. So yeah, I mean, it was something that I always was a part of.
And 3 years ago, at age 26, you opened your first restaurant, Shaw Bijou, in Northwest Washington. It closed less than 3 months later in January 2017. Kith and Kin opened 10 months after that. What did you learn from that experience, and how did you bounce back so quickly?
I learned to choose my investors wisely. I bounced back by sticking to my guns and believing in myself and having people around me that believed in me more than I believed in myself. And just keeping good people around me and sticking to what I knew was best.
Tell me more about how you do that, keep good people around you. It sounds wonderful, but I can't imagine how you can orchestrate that.
I think you need to choose the people that work with you, whether they're working with you or they're just in your social circle, very, very wisely, because they're a reflection of you. And you need to be able to look towards them for advice, look towards them for inspiration, whether that's in a form of just creativity or in a form of seeing how hard they work side by side with you to continue to push you. I think it's an important thing for any business owner or person that's just in business, or just an employee in general. You need to just keep good people around you. So when things do get tough, they can see you, you know, towards the light.
That's Kwame Onwuachi, executive chef at Kith and Kin, an Afro-Caribbean restaurant in Washington, D.C. Here on The Record on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. He's coming to Baltimore next week to discuss his memoir, Notes from a Young Black Chef, written with Joshua David Stein. In an interview with The New York Times, you said, quote, "There is a ceiling for chefs of color that I want to change," close quote. How?
By continuing doing what I'm doing. You know, I could have let that ceiling of the Shaw Bijou, break me down and not continue, but I didn't, you know, and I think more representation matters. And the more people you see that, you know, look like you that are doing things, it makes you more inclined to believe that you can do them. So I'm going to do it by, you know, continuing to do what I'm doing. And in turn, there is that representation, but there's also opportunities for employment, opportunities for growth, opportunities for upward mobility within my company.
In your memoir, you call out by name some chefs you've worked for who basically enforce that ceiling. Have you had any pushback on doing that?
No. I mean, I wrote what I wrote, you know, that's my truth, and that's it. So if there is any pushback, I'm not really aware of it. You know, I know it may make certain people uncomfortable to hear of what people go through, but it's a reality, you know, and we need to talk about it in order for change to occur.
What is a typical day at Kith and Kin like for you?
Well, it's busy. I mean, I have another restaurant. It's called Philly Wing Fry as well. It's a fast casual restaurant, so I'm usually between both restaurants. I don't think there is a typical day anymore. You know, there's just so much going on now. Whether I'm, you know, having meetings, I'm expediting on the pass, I'm tasting through food, I'm having check-ins with my staff, helping prep. There's just each day can be different. It used to be very typical. It used to be very, very structured for me, but now it's a little, it depends on the day of how the day goes.
It sounds like you're not as much in the kitchen. Do you miss that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm still in the kitchen, you know, not like, yeah, you're right, not as much, but yeah, I do.
This spring, you won the 2019 James Beard Foundation Award for Rising Star Chef of the Year. The foundation honors chefs, restaurateurs, authors, and journalists in the culinary industry. What does this award mean for you?
It means everything for me. You know, I've been looking up to the James Beard Foundation since I could remember, and always envision myself getting an award, and it's a big milestone for my career, and not only for my career but for my culture.
How so?
You know, I'm the second person of color to ever receive that award, so I think the representation matters, you know, and hopefully, you know, there'll be more in the next couple years.
And there are plans to make a movie of your memoir. Lakeith Stanfield of Sorry to Bother You and Atlanta fame has signed on to play the lead role. As your story reaches a wider audience, what do you hope people take from it?
To be inspired to follow your dreams and to, you know, don't be afraid to look at life from another person's perspective.
I hear that chefs often don't like to cook at the end of a long day. What do you like to eat?
I like to eat popcorn, microwave popcorn.
Just popcorn?
At the end of a long day, because it's usually too late to, like, really eat a full meal when I get out. So I'll eat microwave popcorn.
Do you, like, jazz it up with some spice?
Oh, no. It comes perfectly packaged. It's like an orange. Everything in it is perfect. Comes with its own bowl. It's great.
You are full of surprises. I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Kwame Onwuachi is executive chef of Kith & Kin at the Intercontinental Washington, D.C. at the Wharf. He'll be in Baltimore next Thursday at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History for a conversation about his memoir, Notes from a Young Black Chef. Quick break here on The Record. When we're back, there's a new monthly market in Northeast Baltimore. We hear from the founder of the Market at Montebello. Sheila Cass, stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR, become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. A warm summer day with a light breeze coming off the water. What could be a better setting for an outdoor market? The Market at Montebello is a new monthly market in Northeast Baltimore, right next to Lake Montebello. With live music, vendors, and cooking demos, the market brings those living near the lake together to enjoy healthy food and locally made goods. Nicole Foster started the market at Montebello. She's a public health lawyer, raw food chef, and co-owner of Cajou, a vegan ice cream company formed with her husband, Chef Dwight Campbell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you moved to Baltimore about a year ago. Why did you decide to start this market?
When we moved, we realized that the area in Lake Montebello, we moved about a block away from Lake Montebello. It seemed to have little in the way of community programming, but it was such a beautiful gift to the area. We thought that we could do something to change it into the kind of area that we really wanted to live in and to also bring the community together. So what we noticed is that people would walk around the lake and then they would leave. And so there was no place like a coffee shop for them to gather and commune and get to know each other as a community. We also noticed that there were no healthy food options. And so what we wanted to do was bring vendors together who would offer the community healthy food and drink, as well as other makers who would just offer a vastly different experience than the one we currently have on the lake.
Your company, Cajou, makes dairy-free ice cream from cashews.
That's correct.
Can be bought online in local restaurants and grocery stores and at the Waverly and JFX farmers markets in Baltimore. How is the market at Montebello different from other weekend markets?
Well, the aim of the market at Montebello is to galvanize the community around healthy and green initiatives. So to that end, we have Baltimore Compost Collective come and they do a compost demonstration each month. We have free yoga on the lake, which is done by the amazing instructors at our community partner, Bikram Yoga Wellness Works in Mount Vernon. We also have a DJ, so we try to create a vibe And we have tables and chairs. We're encouraging people to stay and talk and gather with each other.
Is it a farmer's market? Is there produce?
We have not been able to get as much produce as we anticipated because the farmers have commitments to other markets. So we've really crafted this into a maker's market. So it's food and drink and crafts and other healing services. We've had acupuncture in the past. We've had massage. So that's it's a more of a maker's market, community market.
The first market at Montebello was in May.
May 25th.
It's the third Saturday of each month, so the next market will be August 24th.
That's correct.
What does it take to start a market?
Well, I guess the desire to bring the community together, that's one that I had. But the other piece is that I needed to, obviously, the market takes place in the parking pad behind Montebello Elementary. So I needed to secure a permit for that space. And then it was about marketing it to vendors. I'm obviously an owner of a small business here in Baltimore, so I know a lot of the small businesses. So I marketed to them, as well as trying to think outside of the box and think of other vendors, other participants who might add value to a market at Montebello and really kind of help to create community.
And so who are some of the other vendors we haven't talked about?
So we've had Zeke's Coffee. We've had healthy food, vegan food from an Ethiopian restaurant, from Mira Kitchen Collective. They work with immigrant women who are chefs. We've had Healthy People Juice, Sweet Bee Lemonade. We have a number of amazing skincare products. We have jewelry. We've got this woman from Lauraville, Orange Scissor Art. She makes these incredible little pieces of jewelry out of maps and other interesting things. You know, everyone in the community has been so generous with their time. For instance, our DJs have actually volunteered their time. So we've had DJ Harvey Dent and DJ Steezy, in addition to DJ Patrick Scientific, volunteer their time on a Saturday. We've had at every market, the University of Maryland Master Gardener Extension Program. They've come to answer questions about gardening and about creating green spaces. I also wanted to mention Montebello Elementary itself. Part of our proceeds are going to help the school rebuild their school vegetable garden. So the Master Garden Program, they're on hand to help the school answer any questions that they might have.
How does the market's focus on health affect what kind of vendors take part?
Well, we have ensured that most of the vendors have some type of health or wellness bend, or at least a justice-related bend. So we've, for instance, excluded a cigar company that wanted to come and sell cigars. We're really focused on creating a healthy community and encouraging the community to demand healthier initiatives. So that's one reason why we've had Baltimore Compost Collective come and do compost demonstrations, because we'd love the community to eventually have a composting project that will fertilize a community-led garden, which is our ultimate goal.
That's Nicole Foster, owner of Cajou, a plant-based ice cream company, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking about the market at Montebello that she started this spring, a lakeside market in northeast Baltimore on the third Saturday of each month this summer. And I want to introduce one of the vendors she mentioned participating in the market at Montebello, Carrie Lidequist, an instructor and studio manager with Bikram Yoga Wellness Studios, which has several locations in Maryland, including Baltimore's Mount Vernon neighborhood. Carrie, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How does doing yoga outdoors change the experience?
It changes the experience because of no walls and, of course, no ceiling. The outdoors is open to everyone, and everyone's able to come and are welcomed. It's a very freeing experience, but most importantly, it's allowing us, Bikram Yoga Works Wellness, to come out of the studio and into another community and try to share what we love with them.
Who are the classes at the market at Montebello aimed at?
Definitely all walks of life in terms of experience, beginners to advanced. Same with our studios. Everyone's welcomed. You can never have taken a class before. That would be absolutely fine. You'd be welcomed in our studios, and of course outside is the same thing. So anyone and everyone, all ages.
And how did you decide that the market at Montebello was a good place?
Oh, goodness, that was very easy. That was very easy. Knowing Nicole and just her mantra in life and her mission statement, I feel like it was very easy to pair and partner with her. She has very similar ideas about how a community should be, how a community can flourish. And it really definitely aligns with us. We also know she is a fellow yogi, so that helps out a lot, too. She shares our experience as well with her colleagues and with her community, so we really appreciate that.
Nicole, how many people have taken part in the markets so far?
I would say over the last couple of markets, we've had about 400 to 500 people come to each market.
My goodness, a big crowd.
Right.
Do folks tend to come right at 9 when it opens?
No, they just come steadily throughout the day.
And what's your sense of that goal you mentioned of having people make a day of it? I mean, do people sort of tend to come and they're gone an hour later, or are there folks who actually spend the whole day?
People come with their families, and their little kids in wagons. They set up a blanket on the grass, and they make the day out of it. They usually come maybe at 10, and they leave at 2, and they talk to people, and it's a magical place because what you hear is laughter. You hear connection. It really does feel like the community genuinely coming together to love each other in a way that they probably never had.
Carrie, what kind of response are you getting to yoga outdoors?
A good response, a very good response. Everyone's happy that we are there. They're happy to be able to stretch and to be among like-minded individuals. It's an opportunity for them to share something with us and for us to share something with them. Just to be together in a community is a very nice thing. It's a very powerful thing.
Nicole, what's your vision for the future of the market at Montebello?
It's still up in the air, but I hope that we are able to continue it a little bit more frequently next year. I hope that we continue to have amazing community partners, that we continue to integrate the community as much as possible. I just want to see it continue to flourish.
Thank you both for this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Nicole Foster is founder of The Market at Montebello and a co-founder of the vegan creamery Cajou. Carrie Lidquist is an instructor with Bikram Yoga Wellness Studios and manager of its Mount Vernon location. The next market at Montebello is in 3 weeks, Saturday, August 24th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. We have a link to more information. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on The Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.